sing.
Yeah, just sing something to get some pussy.
Ooh, baby, I like it more. Yeah, baby, I like it more. Ooh, baby, I like it more. Yeah, baby, I like it more. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. Off on a natural charge, bon voyage. Yeah, from the home of the Dodgers, Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer, he's on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. For you to even touch my skill, you gotta go to one killer B, and he ain't gonna kill now. Chop that down, pass it all around.
Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 46, officially sponsored by
Brims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories. Only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. All right, here we are, episode number 46. Last episode I had, episode number 45, the Brims and Tongues folk on. But today we're here with Boyma Freeman, the comedian, the actor.
Something like that.
The what else do you do?
I don't know. ODB's illegitimate grandson. that's it. Comedy, acting, whatever in between, man. Just living a regular Joe, you know.
Yeah. Boyma has the best fart jokes I've ever heard.
I do?
I'm just kidding.
I was like, I fought it now. That wasn't a joke.
Brims and Tongues, though. You're wearing a Brims and Tongues shirt right now.
Yeah,
you obviously, you're familiar.
Yeah.
Actually, I know of you because you've been around for a while, and I don't know that we've ever met before, but you did that commercial, or you just did some YouTube something or other for Brims and Tongues,
right?
And I was just like, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Trying to get the name out there,
right?
You know,
right.
Product placement, you know, helping out. I love seeing, you know, entrepreneurs getting their thing together. So when I heard about Brims and Tongues and met Mike, I was like, yeah, I'm behind it the full way. Because I always wanted to be that person to say, remember the story about FUBU where LL Cool J wore FUBU and then that's how they got their name out there? I'm like, someone has to help.
I did not know that.
Yeah, someone has to help you make it somewhere.
Right.
And if I'm on TV,
yeah.
I'll even commit a crime just to be on Cops rocking a Brims and Tongues.
We're here today, we're going to talk about my personal Wu-Tang favorite album from any of the members, ODB's Return to the 36 Chambers.
Yes.
And I don't know, there's something about ODB, he's just my favorite rapper, you know, he's just so different, you know.
See,
what I mean?
It's funny because that's my favorite rapper of all time.
So really?
You can keep your Biggie,
yeah.
You can keep your Tupac,
yeah.
I'm ODB.
Yeah.
And a comic friend of mine, his name is Swin. When we first met, you know, we met at a barbershop and then we hung out, but really didn't know each other like that. So one day we're going to Chicago for a comedy competition and we're in the car and all of a sudden we're listening to the radio station and who comes on? Old Dirty Bastard. Yo, from about 2 minutes out of Minnesota until we got to Chicago, there was nothing but ODB. Actually, we were standing in the line just screaming out ODB lyrics to each other.
Which could be easily conceived as comedy.
Right,
absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's funny. ODB was the greatest ever.
Right.
You know why? Because, I mean, sure, you can rap about this, this, and that, but for someone to take your mind and just F it in a way where you're like, did he actually think about that? Oh, I want to be there.
Right.
Like, it's like almost like some of the things that he says, you're like, I want to be there and see, was he high? Was he drunk?
Right.
With the kids getting on his nerves or his baby's mother's, you know?
Yeah.
I love ODB.
Right. Okay, so the first time I'd obviously heard him was on the 36 Chambers Wu-Tang album.
Okay.
And he has that line where he says, I got burnt by gonorrhea.
Right.
But no, on this album, on the intro of the album, he's like breaking the ice.
You burned
me
again. I just want you to know, girl.
Yeah, letting you know, it wasn't just once; it was twice.
It was twice. So he got burnt by gonorrhea. But the pussy was good. The pussy was good.
So March 28th, 1995. Where were you around then? 95.
95. I was, not to date myself, but I was actually in the 11th grade, being bad as hell.
Right.
And when I heard this dude, I'm like, who the heck is this dude? And then when Wu-Ha came on, swear to God, I was listening to it and I said, you know who would be hot on this track for a remix? Busta Rhymes. 2 weeks later, mm-hmm. you know, there was the collaboration.
Right.
And it's not the first time it has happened where I've listened to a song and been mm-hmm. like, this person will be hot on this song or this person will be hot on this beat. But right. for that one, I was, because it was one of my two, and I'm like, ODB and Busta together on one track, yeah, and then they did nuts. It in the Insane of Silence.
Yep, with the, yep, yeah. I remember that with the yeah. straitjackets. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was cool. I remember that. Right.
Russell Jones, a.k.a. Big Baby Jesus.
Yeah.
AKA and he had Osiris,
yeah,
Dirt McGirt.
Dirt McGirt, there right. you go. Yeah, he actually had a clothing line at one. Do you remember Dirt right. McGirt clothing?
Right, it didn't yeah. go anywhere.
Didn't,
and the thing no. about ODB is like, it's almost like that family member that messed up all the time and went to jail, and you're like, and they were so good at something, you're like, I wish they were outside to, mm-hmm. you know, so we can have more of that, you know. Whereas right. ODB spent most of his time in jail.
Right.
This fool knew he had warrants out for his arrest, and he went crazy at Burger King because he didn't get his burger right. And then he ended up going to jail. He showed up in court. You know what he asked the judge?
What's that?
Do I make you horny?
What?
Yes, in court.
When was that?
It was a couple of years ago.
I seem to remember that 95 deal.
I'm telling you, this dude showed up
yeah.
at the welfare line in limo.
Right.
Who the hell does
yeah, yeah,
that?
I remember the MTV special. That was probably one time when I was like, I don't know who this, you know, he's just...
crazy.
There's something that was crazy about right. this guy, right?
And remember when he went to the Grammys and yeah, he was like, yeah, Wu-Tang yeah. is for the kids, yeah. you know? It's for the babies, because yeah. I got a lot of babies.
Yeah, he was actually a good person. I think a lot of people, the media perceives him as, because he got arrested so much,
right.
you know what I mean? But
right.
he's just, the guy's probably fucking crazy, you know
he
what
is.
I mean? I don't know, but.
But geniuses are, you know? That's why I'm trying not
absolutely.
To be a genius, because I don't want to be crazy, you know? But still, right. you have to bottle it up.
You
know,
there's a thin line between genius and crazy,
it
and
is.
I think someone like Kanye West kind of walks that line,
he
you
does.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't, he seems to like being a celebrity, but he doesn't want people
hates
taking
being
a picture.
In the spotlight, right.
Right.
Yeah. yeah. But I mean, for situations like those, though, if I ever made it to a point where paparazzi were after me,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably hire somebody to be after the paparazzi.
Right.
Like when they wake up in the morning, have someone in their face taking pictures of them. You can pay
right.
somebody to do that. You
right.
know, make their life about as miserable as they make yours, you know?
Right.
Like, what did you eat for breakfast this morning, huh? 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 Did you pay your bills? You know, just taking pictures of them doing
right.
regular shit. Leave me
yeah.
alone. I'm taking out my trash.
What's in your trash?
Right.
What'd you eat?
Right. Did you fart this morning?
But there was something that interesting. I remember, so a celebrity getting arrested. Media's all over it.
Right.
Right. In February 98, ODB witnessed a car accident, and he like organized a bunch of people around to help lift this
car
off of this girl, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't know about
right.
that.
Right, because they don't put out the positive, though.
Right.
It's always the negative,
right.
because negativity sells, you know? You
right.
could do 100 good. As soon as you mess up once, fart on a baby or something like that, people want to come out at you, you know?
Right.
Or you hit a baby by mistake, and people want to come out
yeah.
at you, you know? So it's...
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it was a 4-year-old girl, and I mean, he didn't like. He wasn't open about it, like telling
right,
the media
telling
and
people,
stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? He
yeah.
wasn't bragging about it. And then
remember that one time when I helped a kid out the car?
He wants to tell you about the gonorrhea, but he would go back and sign up in the hospital to go visit this girl in the hospital and like give false names and stuff because
uh-huh.
he didn't want
people to know that it was him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was that's noble. That
right.
is absolutely
yeah.
noble and respectable, but. And then the next day, following the accident, was that Grammy Awards deal
where
he walked
on stage.
Where
he said, Wu-Tang is about the kids.
Yeah. Wu-Tang is for the children.
It's for the babies.
Yeah, but this album, man, it's... I was reading about it. The Dirty Version, it was nominated in 96 for the Grammy Award Best Rap Album.
Yeah, it should have won.
It should have won, but
right.
it lost to Naughty by Nature's Poverty's Paradise,
man,
which
care.
Wasn't the best album.
No, it wasn't. I don't hate Naughty by Nature, Hip Hop Array, but... I don't think Old Dirty Bastard got his just due, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even when you go back now, like, you know, that particular album, I always remember it because of the driver's license.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then, was it one with the cover of a food stamp? Was it
food
one
stamp.
Of the pictures?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. This this year, actually, on Record Store Day, Fifth Element had some special edition of the album that came with, like, a wallet.
And then it had food stamp in it.
A food stamp, yeah. And it had the actual card.
Oh,
the
wow.
card, yeah. So that was cool. But the wallet is like the size of a CD case.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know about the size of your
How
pockets.
How would you carry
but...
it, right? Hey, you got big pockets.
But man, I remember buying this when I first had this album. It was on tape.
When we said, remember when we used to say who could do this the longest?
Oh,
there
you go. Right, that's like... There's a part on this album, for those unfamiliar, where he literally goes,
Remember, what do you say? The teacher said, open up your text and read the first paragraph on oral sex. I said, oral sex? What kind of class is this? The girl next to me said, what's wrong with you, miss? This is a lesson that makes you feel fine, kind of ease a nerve and relax your mind. Man. I met a girl named Chandra from way down yonder. That's where it was nice right there.
Yeah. There's a lot of good tracks on here, man. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start. Yeah, it was like, so the first solo album to come from Wu-Tang was Method Man's Tical.
Right.
Yeah. But this album is like two different things, you know what I mean?
Right.
It still has that grimy RZA production. I mean, there's other producers here too, but it's just like the content, the lyrical content. Right, it's just crazy. Like, you've never heard anything like this.
No, ever.
I mean, without
except
it being...
Except for the second album that he came out with, you know, where he was dressed up with the Jerry curl. And even that, if you look at that album, if you go and look at it, there's a chick with a thigh spread and there's like blood. I'm like, yo, ODB, how the hell did you think about that? How did you think to do that? That's something that I would think about and not do.
Right. The second album, I wasn't like... it just wasn't quite the same
right,
as this,
right,
you know
right,
what I mean? You know,
right.
I didn't get into that one as much. It's also, what, 4 years later than
after
this album,
this,
you know?
Right, and he went through a lot of stuff before then.
And
so.
You can tell.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah.
What was the big single off the second one?
It was
pretty big.
It was, Hey, Dirty.
Yeah, right.
Baby, I got your money, don't you worry.
And in between there was when he had that song with, the big song with, Maya,
Ghetto Superstar,
yeah, and Praz. Yeah, he did have a good career, you know.
Right.
But anyways, the transition from Method Man to this album was just like, someone might conceive this as, or perceive this as, almost like a comedy album, but it's not.
Right. Right.
It's not. It's no. Just this is ODB. He's just
OD got jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, he does, and it's like he the way he presents and raps is just like. I could only imagine what it's like to be like on like working that recording
right, in the
console
studio.
In the studio.
Like,
man,
OD,
yeah.
Do you want us to really keep what you just said?
Yeah, right.
No, keep it.
There was there's actually, I think this year there's an ODB documentary coming out.
Oh, for real?
I think it's called Dirty.
And I'm going to definitely
really
catch
soon.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a documentary by like his cousin or something that came out, but I think this one's more official. You know,
right.
I don't know. His cousin seems official to me, but you know, maybe
his cousin doesn't seem official. Maybe it just wasn't a good cousin. You
right.
know, like
be.
I think I saw somewhere where his son is a rapper too.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, Young Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, but I think he's trying too hard to be ODB.
Yes,
you
exactly.
Can't be your father,
you
no matter
no,
what.
No, no, no,
you don't
no,
see
no,
Michael
no.
Jordan's son out there with his tongue out trying to dunk
exactly.
on people, right?
Yeah.
You can have to stay in your lane. I mean, you can borrow something and then
right.
expand on it, but you can't be your dad. There's no
there's a thing here now. Wu-Tang toured, I think last year, like a full nationwide tour, and they brought Young Dirty Bastard
right.
with to in place of ODB.
ODB, right.
Yeah. And I like when you're in that situation, it's like they got to be like, just act like your dad. You
right.
know what I mean? That's what
right.
people want to see.
Right.
You know, but I personally don't want to see that.
Especially not for his legacy, you know.
Right.
If it's ODB on stage, I want it to be real ODB or at least the corpse.
Yeah.
Because that's something ODB would do.
Yeah. Did you see the hologram ODB performance
Mm-mm.
at Rock
for
the
real?
Bells? Yeah. Rock the Bells this year had the West Coast had Bone Thugs performing with Eazy-E
uh-huh.
hologram. And the East Coast had Wu-Tang performing with the ODB hologram.
Damn.
And the ODB one looked... I don't know if it was just the... Because I haven't seen like an official video production of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been just like a fan recording it. But he looked like larger than the other Wu-Tang members. So, but it was cool.
Right.
Was cool.
To me, he is larger than the other Wu-Tang
yeah,
members.
Right, right,
you know?
Right. And then the Eazy-E one looked fat. He was
for
like
real?
Fat Eazy-E. You know?
If you're going to do a hologram, keep it... I need to
right.
do a hologram of myself.
Yeah.
Can y'all make me about 20... 20
and
pounds bigger.
No, the ironic thing there is Eazy-E's son is Lil Eazy-E.
Right.
And he raps.
Right.
And he's not good, in
right.
my opinion. I
right.
think he's terrible. But, and I was an Eazy-E fan, too.
Yeah, did you see Big Pun's son as well? Is rapping?
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he like Lil Pun?
I think his name is sort of different, but
okay.
it's basically he raps just like his father. You
okay,
know?
Right. And it's just the same thing. It's just kind of make your own lane.
Right.
Don't
yeah, because
yeah.
you can be, you know.
Right.
There'll never be another ODB.
Right. I don't know how this album sold. Like, it went gold.
I at least bought two of those. Because I ended up losing one.
Right.
And then I bought one. And remember when BMG used to send you that stuff in the mail you can get free albums?
Mm-hmm.
I got ODB again. It's just one of those classic albums to me, you know?
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn Zoo.
What's confusing to me is how Nighted by Nature's Poverty's Paradise, which I don't even remember what the single
was from Hip Hop Array?
No, that was actually on 1993. Oh, that was the album before that. So that album was kind of like...
Maybe the one, you could have bitched on my money, but you couldn't look my day. Hey, I'm thinking of rapping, but you never look my way. Hey, I told you that. Oh, wait, afraid of what I made.
I know what you're talking about. I think that was 1993,
too. I don't know that.
I don't know, but either way, you can't even name a single off of there.
Right,
you know what I mean?
I can't, you know. But I think more they... I think Naughty was probably just going off. I think ODB was so crazy that his genius isn't like a couple of years later till you hear it and be like, okay, this guy was in his own lane on another highway on another planet.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, pretty much as far as the Wikipedia page of this album, it looks like a lot of big, like Entertainment Weekly, Rolling Stone, Vibe, all gave it positive reviews.
Right.
Rolling Stone actually said it may well be the most... original vocalist in hip-hop history.
I think so, too.
Yeah,
think so. I mean, you could say Busta is wild, but Busta wouldn't say things like ODB.
No, right. Yeah. But that pairing, you're right, Don Wuha.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was nice.
That was good. Yeah. The Source, and it didn't get, like, a perfect review, like five mics, but I got 4 mics out of 5 on The Source. You know, but...
Right. But it all depends on who's rating those albums.
That's
true,
yeah.
So they're not going off the people.
Yeah.
But I know. I know ODB. There's do they have any snippets on there?
No, they don't quote anything.
Okay.
How do you type like...
Bronx Go! Remember who knew that the longest?
Brooklyn Zoo, first single.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then after that it was... you know what? That's what I never understood why... Like that was the first single as opposed to the other, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was my... That's the only thing I know how to play on a keyboard. It's that portion right there, yo. If they play that song at my funeral, I guarantee I'm hopping out the casket.
Nice. Baby, come on home.
Yeah, baby, come on home.
There were definitely some better songs that could have been singles, but
right.
Who knows how they picked that. You know, and the beauty of Wu-Tang, on a past episode, I talked with someone about Wu-Tang, the 36 Chambers, and the original plan, you know, RZA was really the head of Wu-Tang. And,
right.
The original plan was, we're going to get these 9 guys together, and everyone is basically a solo artist that we can come together and make albums together.
Right.
You know, so as far as, like, all of the members' solo albums, the first ones were always just on point, you know what I mean? But after that, they kind of found their own way,
right?
You know,
because I think what happens is, after they released their album, they still were with the group. So then there was space in between the first and the second album. By then, probably 5 years has probably elapsed. You know, your hunger isn't there anymore because you're not probably seeing the same thing. I think that's what probably happened to ODB is you just got bored, you know?
And you get money. And I think he liked the, there you go.
A lot.
Yeah.
He even said, the cocaine make your pussy numb. What? Okay, ODB.
So it was a little more than drinking, and unfortunately that caught up with him.
Yep, and it ended up killing him, too. Yeah, did you see when he came out of jail how he was saying that they were trying to kill him?
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. And again, it's like ODB. It's like,
Is he, is he fabricating?
Right.
Or is someone else, is there a conspiracy to get rid of the dirty bastard?
Right.
You know, the man who father has no style.
November 13th, 2004. We're 10 days away from the anniversary of his death. 9 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cried when ODB died.
Yeah, man. That was
I don't know about Tupac and Biggie, but I mean, they were good, but ODB ranks number one on my list.
Yeah. It was definitely an unfortunate loss.
I cried when Dirt Dog died.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people forget when he got out of jail like the last time before he died, he signed with Rockefeller.
Exactly, Jay-Z.
Yeah, that's crazy.
There was that one song with Public Enemy. I mean, when you hear that, whoo, that's the sound of the police. Whoop whoop, with Beanie Siegel.
Okay.
State Property.
Okay.
He was on the same group, like shame on the nigga who tried to run game on him.
I've never heard that.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah, it's called When You Hear That. I think it's called That's the Sound of the Police. They took like the snippet
from KRS-One.
Yeah, right, and it's it's a banging beat, you know?
Here was an interesting, on the last episode, Michael of Brims and Tongues was saying how Big Jess has this immaculate, you know, facial hair, right? Nice, neat, and well cut. He's a very handsome fella, you know? And Michael has this thing called the John B. effect, where most white men who have like the facial hair that looks really
like
on
exactly
point,
no
that
matter
they're into black women,
right?
Right. So he called it the John B. effect, right? And I'm looking at reading this thing about ODB. ODB's very last, what is the word? He collaborated. His very last collaboration before he died was with John B.
Oh, for real?
That's weird. We just came full circle.
Did that ever come out?
It's called Every Time.
Okay.
And I don't know. From the album Stronger Every Day. So it looks like it did.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
Yeah, in 2004 that came out.
I would seriously play every ODB song ever.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was like friends with Mariah Carey.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah, right?
I remember, I mean, I could give a fuck less about Mariah Carey, but
when that song came
out, there was like a remix.
In heaven.
Yeah, Roller Coaster, right?
Right,
is that what it's called? Yeah, I bought the single. I did it. I gave Mariah Carey some money.
Yeah.
And I would give her more.
I'll give her more than money, huh? Give her a cannon. I ain't talking about Knicks.
That's really all I got on ODB. You know, for those that are unfamiliar, I mean, you got to know who he is.
Right.
People probably know who he
is.
But I would start with this album right here, Return to the 36.
Did you ever heard that he was on a song with Blackstreet?
No.
It was a remix to...
There was a while where ODB was on any most singles remixed. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, he was, because I remember Blackstreet. It was a crazy video, like they were in a building. Even the Wu-Tang Forever, ODB was not on that track, but just the way he started it off, you know?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I don't remember. I don't know what year that was. Yeah, he was on like maybe three songs out of the album.
Yeah.
And there was one song called Dog Shit that was on the album. And that was a really, that could have been on this album. That was
you cool. know, yeah. Is that, Pimp Shake Pimp, what's up? And when I'ma come through, about to get swoo with him and Pharrell. He actually worked with Pharrell
on,
for a little bit.
The Neptunes
Pop
album.
Shit, bitch, what's up?
Yeah. Or maybe that was on the second album too. Yeah. Yeah, there's still some gems out there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, one story I wanted to tell too. I went through a phase in my life where I was into the Insane Clown Posse. Listeners of the show are aware. Are you familiar with the Insane Clown Posse?
Right.
On one of their albums, they paid to have ODB on a song.
Which one?
It's called Bitches. The song is called Bitches. Bitches! And it's basically his just yelling, Bitches!
Right.
And the ICP wrote this book about like how they came up, you know, everything. It was a pretty interesting read. And they talk about how this song came about. And they paid him like $30,000 to do it. He came in one night, knocked it out in a night, and they come back like the next day to listen to what he'd recorded.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you can't even tell what the fuck he's talking about. So they had to pay another engineer to come in and like chop up everything to make
piece
it what
together.
It became. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, man, that's ODB though.
You know?
You know
what I'm gonna do? When I get up in that motherfucking studio,
I'ma
just give you a couple of puzzles. Y'all put it together.
Yeah, and I think what they came up with the end result was, you know, it's ICP and ODB.
Right,
and
hey,
you know
that's
mean?
What that matters, right?
Yeah. But man,
he did
was...
a song with the Alcoholics as well.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, he did a song with that. I don't know the name of it, but I think it's called Drunken Style or something like that. Where
that
he just
sense.
Talked about drinking, you know? Yeah,
okay.
And you know he drank a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He showed up on stage drunk.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
when he would, and he, like, my favorite thing about it was the way he would flare his arm and then his neck would go back and forth to, like, oh, Zuna, like a snake trying to throw up or something.
Right. That's a good analogy right there. Yeah, I'm going to have to look up all these collaborations he's done before.
Yeah, he's actually come up with a whole podcast of nothing but snippets of ODB songs.
Right. Or maybe just the,
right? Atlas, Zuna. I'm like, can you imagine ODB being your father and you go to him like, Dad, this girl want us to do it.
So what I'm gonna tell you, bring her over here and I'll show you.
He would, or at least that's the perception he'd get.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, let's take a break here. We'll come back and we'll talk all about Boyma Freeman and just that. We'll be back. So I'm here today in heaven interviewing Michael Jackson.
Ow.
I actually thought we'd be in a lower level of not so much heaven. But what do you know about, like, matching clothes? Because I see you wearing a hat and shirt that, in the tongues of your shoes there, they match. Brims and tongues, huh? What does Jesus think of that?
He's a Jew.
Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Hey, we're back. Boyma Freeman right here, right in front of you. Look at him. He's right there. How you doing, man?
Good.
I forgot to mention, I got to capitalize on ODB's death. And I did.
Yeah, you did.
I capitalized because I have a little t-shirt shop, online shop, and I made this RIP ODB shirt in the vein of the Run DMC logo.
Right.
So if you go to thankyourob.com, you can go there and buy it.
Yeah, I want one. I'm going to get one. Because I'm an ODB man myself.
Yeah, it's pretty. I'll show you before we wrap things up here. But anyways, Boyma Freeman, the comedian... And or actor.
Something.
You've been in some big movies.
Nah.
No.
Pornos, but...
Okay, well, that's what I meant.
Yeah, of course.
They're movies.
You know, yep, Debbie Does Africa. I was Mandingo number two. Nah.
So how did you get into comedy? What got you there?
Funny Family Members, number one. And then when I was in Africa, I used to like joke around a lot. And my cousins always told me only clowns get paid so I could shut up. You know, they say laughter is the best medicine.
Right.
But if someone's dying of malaria, you're trying to tell them a joke, they don't want to hear that shit. They want to hear some, you know, they want music because it's food for the soul because they're about to die. So
yeah.
I just decided to start telling jokes. And people always in my family were funny. You know, my grandfather used to laugh and cry. You know, every job that I ever went to stated that, you know, the place wouldn't have been the same without me anymore. You know, I should really do comedy. And all my life, I've watched a lot of TV and saw a lot of, you know, Sanford and Son, Good Times. And when I was watching it, always in the back of my mind, I was like, if they added this to it, it would have been funnier. Or this is how they come up with the punchline or writing. So just one day decided to step on stage and that was it.
History was made.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Still working on
it. Where do you remember your first time getting on stage? Or?
It was in Amarillo, Texas.
It
was a small place. I realized a lot of people wouldn't know me there, so I hop on stage, and it felt like I always sat back and looked at crackheads or meth addicts and said, what made you start doing that? But after doing comedy, I realized what it was, because that became my drug, you know, that feeling of you thought about something funny, you went up there and you told people, and all of a sudden, they're laughing at it, you know?
Right.
I was like, put me back on there. That was it, you know?
So what was in Texas that you were there?
I don't want to talk about that portion of my life because, let's just say I wasn't selling Bibles.
All right. Understood. So you did that, and were you just built up enough confidence to come home with it, or what?
You mean as far as when you say home?
Well, I guess where is home?
Is Monrovia, Liberia, West Africa, and then I grew up in New York, D.C.,
Oh, you're not from here?
No, I'm not. Not originally. But I've been here for about two winters.
I'm a shitty interviewer.
And once you, if you've been here for two winters, you're from Minnesota, you know, because you didn't leave. So, hell. If you know what Epic was before it became what it is now, you're from Minnesota.
Right.
If you remember not listening to KMOJ after you passed Huron and getting static, you're from Minnesota.
Right.
If you know where Prince lives, you're from Minnesota. If you know First Avenue when it was just one street, you know Minnesota.
Right.
If you knew Highway 7 when it was just a one way, you're from Minnesota. So if you've been here that long, you're from Minnesota.
Right.
I don't care if you were even visiting, you know.
Yeah, hey, Prince made this town.
Exactly.
And as long as you understand that, you're okay.
Yes, you're from here. Yeah. I always wonder, like, how come anyone else haven't been as big as he is? Like, I don't know, do the old people here kind of lock the doors from younger artists? Because the thing about it is...
there's talent.
Yeah, back in the day, people would see you do something and then be like, she's good at it or he's good at it. Let me bring him under my wings.
Right.
I think people back in the day were proud to say, I mentored this person or I helped this person.
Yeah.
But I think people are getting selfish now, you know, whereas they'll try to stifle you because they don't want to see you shine.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I've always sat back and like, you can make money off these artists. They just want to, you know, be put in the forefront, you know?
Right.
And I've heard a lot of artists in Minnesota that if I had a record label or if I had money, trust me, I would sign right then and there and push them like I don't know what.
Because
they do have the talent, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's, as as far as the bigger celebrities becoming bigger than their mentor would be Jay-Z to Kanye. Right. You know? So, I mean, it does happen, but not here. Yeah.
Right. But Jay-Z doesn't care.
Right.
Like, and it goes back to comedy, too, you know, where I'll see other comedians and you perform for this comedian and he sees your jokes. He come up to you and say, good joke. You know, this one is funny. But guarantee you, you're probably writing it down to go tell it his next event that he's right. at and not saying, man, I'll take you on the road, get you yeah. under my wings, write me about 30 jokes mm-hmm. and you're in there. I don't care. I'll give you my material because I always know something is going to happen. That's gonna, but right. help me help you make money.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm making you money, you know, it's the same thing with the rappers.
Right.
No, Jay-Z doesn't care if Kanye sells. Why? Because he has a vested interest in him.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And there's definitely talent in Minnesota that like,
And that's the thing about here is like a lot of people play instruments, you know, bands. There's a lot of, I even saw a band last night, the West Side Band. I don't know if you heard about them.
No.
It's some older cats, but they play like 70s. Let's groove tonight, you know, easy like Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But I would rather go to that than a hip hop concert for the single fact that last night at the end of the show, people just wanted to go home and chill.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you switch to a whole completely another scene and go to Minneapolis, someone right. got shot last night
right.
at a Yo Gotti concert, you know, because the music. I don't go to any hip hop concert that the rappers are not over 50 for the simple fact that I don't want to lose my life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you go to these young shows, it breeds whatever Yo Gotti's talking about, effing, just selling drugs, shooting people.
Right.
Who do you think? I've never left a hip. I mean, but the thing is, it's like, okay, so you go to a hip hop concert just because you hear that you want to shoot somebody. I've never left an R&B concert saying, man, I'm gonna rape the hell out of somebody tonight. You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But with us, with hip hop, you know, I mean, right. I would say rap at this point because it's not hip hop anymore.
Right.
Like I've hosted 3 KRS concerts. Nothing happened at the end of it.
Right.
Nothing at all because of the positivity that he right. brings, you know.
Yep.
This dude steps off stage and goes in the midst of the crowd, rapping, taking pictures with people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you flip that scene and 2 Chainz hop in the crowd, somebody's going to be trying to rob him. Because
right.
he's already established that he's a thug, so people are going to try to test
right.
you. And I seen him. They put out a gun on him. He ran like a little bitch. And then he fell down on the floor, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you ain't riding around. You're getting it. You're running around because you don't want to lose it,
right.
you know?
Well, when the people know you're always wearing 2 Chainz.
Right.
You know?
But if they take your chain, whether that makes you no chain, one chain, what? You can't pick a name like that,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
What if
yeah.
you go broke?
Yeah. Broke chain.
Right.
No heaven chain guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Just yes. him.
So you've opened. You do like a lot of events, right? You don't just do comedy events, like you just said. You open up or just
host shows you
right?
know,
yeah.
do birthday parties,
right.
Do skits, come up with treatment for music videos or you know short films.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. I mean the whole hip hop award turned me off to like hosting hip hop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after that event, you know, I started to ease my way up in there, but sparingly. I mean, I hosted things for like Shauna,
okay.
2 Chainz at Epic. You know, that night, thank God, nothing crazy happened, you
mm-hmm.
know. So, but yeah, I've done a lot of stuff with hip hop.
And out of all that you've done, what's been the one that you've enjoyed the most?
I enjoy doing YouTube videos or writing jokes for people or coming up with ideas like skits for, you know, different artists or something like that.
Okay.
One of my favorite things I did was when Trauma and I did an album. Well, he wrote the lyrics and everything, and I just showed up at the studio and listened to the song and came up with skits for it, and he put
mm-hmm.
it together. It was the Mr. T album. I think that was pretty funny because I got to play, you know, talk like Mr. T and
right.
just say stupid stuff
yeah.
like ODB would, because I just stepped in the studio and just went off, and
yeah.
then they just took everything and pieced it together as they would, you know?
Yeah.
So for that portion, that's probably the best thing that I've ever done. Acting as well, you know, with some of my friends that are in school for directing, you know, they have a project, help bring it to life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, doing skits, when you think of a crazy idea and then boom, is out there.
Right.
I was thinking about a skit idea for Brims and Tongue, actually, right?
Right.
So it's set in the zombie apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
And the zombies are eating everybody, right? People are running left and right, but you see like 3 dudes just walking the street like nothing. The zombies are just looking at them as they're walking, you know,
mm-hmm.
going through the corridors, and then they're going, and one of the zombies turn around and be like, nice kicks, nice tongues, nice pants.
Yeah.
It matched your shirt and your hat. Oh, you're safe. Go. You know, like in the zombie apocalypse,
right.
as long as you're matching, you make it, right?
Yeah. That would have been a good thing to come together during the zombie pub crawl.
And another one I was going to, that will be hot. Yep, that because you can use them for that. Yeah, because I have a bunch of footage from the zombie pub crawl that happened in St. Paul, though. Yeah, and I've had it on YouTube, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I've been thinking about a different idea. Another one was a guy who was in court, and they go, they're interviewing someone who, I mean, they're there's a witness on the stand, and they say, do you see the person in this court today that committed a crime? And the person's like, no, and everybody in the court's like, you know, because they're shocked. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what was the person wearing? They're like, they were wearing a Nike hat, a Reebok shirt, and some IOU jeans, and some XJ900s. And then he's like, then the lawyer stands up and is like, that wasn't my client. It's like, look at him. He's matching.
Nice. That's a good one. Yeah, so don't give away all your good ideas here.
Before somebody steal it,
right? Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike, let's hook this up and let's do this.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah, that's it. I just like
you're
to
an
think
idea
about,
man.
I am. Like, I'm the type of person where if you have a small seed, I can turn it into a big seed by coming up with a bigger picture and adding things onto it. Like, I've had friends before who have written plays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, can you add some comedy onto this? For me, it's easy because to sit there and start writing is horrible because I freeze. You know, a lot of my things is improv or things that I've thought about in my head. So if I can take someone's, like, you know, something and help make it better, I feel like I'm on a Chop Shop or MTV. Pimp my ride or something.
Right.
I can pimp your idea, basically.
There you go.
Yep.
Pimp my idea.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that could be pitched right there.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. So what, have you written stuff for other comedians then?
No, but I have sat back and watched other comedians and done what someone did for me, saying when I get off stage, saying, boy, man, you know this one joke that you did? Add this part onto it, and then you have more to put on there. Or if you say this, think about it. It might be a little bit funnier because then they can relate to it more.
Right.
Or maybe interject a song here, because that's what I've realized is people relate to music a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're telling a joke or whatever and you, boom, switch it to lyrics, it's gold right there, you know?
Right.
And everyone can relate to music, and then now you're making them laugh. So every time now they hear this song, they think about you. And it does the same thing with, I do a lot of parody music as well, you know?
Right.
Where now when I hear a song, when people hear a song, they'll come up to me and be like, you know, I can't listen to this song anymore because your lyrics are in my head now, you know?
Yeah. That's good. That's effective.
Right? It is.
I can think, my wife and I think I mentioned to you, we go to see stand-up comedy when we can. You know, we got kids, so it's hard to get out. But, you know, amateur, well, I don't care. We'll go watch pretty much anything. It's usually pretty good. Acme Comedy Club's always pretty much good for anything, I'd say.
Right.
But we saw, you mentioned mentioning song lyrics or something, and this is a good, I love music. My wife, she doesn't really care. You know, we were watching this comedian, and he said something, I don't know what he was referring to, but he said, I can't go for that, no. And he said, and he just said, Hall & Oates. And I was like, I was rolling laughing.
Right.
Half the crowd was laughing, but the other half was
some
like, what the hell?
People don't get it, right? Remember that song, I can't go for that, no.
And I was just like, oh, that is so awesome. My wife's like, why are you laughing so hard? And I'm like, that was funny. And I still remember that.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, and like you do stuff like that?
Yeah, I do. Most of the time, because I listen to a lot of songs. So what I used to do was before parody even became popular, you know, Weird Al was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Eat It, and basically I thought he was great. You know, I'm like, to take a song and mess it all up, because in Liberia, that's all we did was take music and put it, incorporate things that's going on in our lives and then mess up the person's song. And when I heard Weird Al or Dr. Demento, I was like, yes, that's me right there, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so then I started just listening to songs, and I'm like, if it's funny, I'm going to take a pair and change the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
So started doing that little by little on stage and then going into my comedy. Or, you know, do it where it's just not all jokes, you know, because like, you know, when it gets bored, I go on to Taco Bell, it ain't good at 2 or 3 or something by Usher, you know, You Got It Bad or something like that, or, you know, Farts All Over Your Girl Tonight or something like that, you know, but with Chris Brown. So anytime there's a new song come out, you know, and I'm listening to music, like, we fell in love in a hopeless place. I hate that song, but I always change the word from hopeless place to Oprah's place, because I'm thinking, like, we fell in love at Oprah's, you know. Like, and I think about it, I'm like, you're chilling at Oprah, some girl walked in, like, damn, I'm in love, you know?
That's good. So have you thought about, or have you done, like, an album?
Not a musical album. I have snippets of things that I've done that's on the internet that I just throw it out there. For me, I don't know if I really want to do an album. If I do anything, it will more than likely be a DVD. I think about, you know, trying to get a venue, sort of like the Fine Line, because I love the acoustics in there. I've hosted probably about 20 shows down there, and I love it. So something like that, where I bring a camera crew and just film the entire thing, you know,
right.
and then go from there. But I want to have a band on stage as well, so I could come up on stage as a character or something mm-hmm. like that, sing songs, go backstage, change.
Right.
Because for me, it's like entertainment.
Right.
What I like to do for my comedy is to perform as if I'm sitting in the crowd looking at myself saying, damn, that dude is an idiot, you know, or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Because I like being on stage and hearing phrases like, damn, you're stupid, you know, because people will say that, you know, and I'm like, thank you, because for me, that's a compliment. Now, if you say that to a kid getting off the short bus, you know, that's a right. you know, you're basically being mean. But
right.
if you tell me I'm stupid, I'm retarded, I'm blah blah blah, to me that's a compliment,
right.
you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Nice. So you don't mind people critiquing your, like, when you come off stage and they give you that feedback?
Yeah, I don't right? mind, but what I don't like, and we get it a lot of, is people telling you jokes that they've heard on the internet. Like, you know, when you're up there, you know, blah, 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 you should do this joke, and you hear it, and you're like, I don't know if I want to be out there doing internet
stuff,
yeah,
right?
or
yeah.
off the
yeah.
internet, or someone will give you a joke, and you're like, I don't know if I want to be doing it.
Because
right. the hardest thing, most comedians are like, you know, I sat down, I watched Richard Pryor, you know, I saw his stand-up, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, I kind of want to separate myself from that.
Right.
So, like, I've never watched Richard Pryor's stand-up. I've listened to Red Fox stand-up because it's so old, but I noticed Red Fox, when I went back and listened to Red Fox, I'm like, he used to do poem, and he used to do songs, and he used to do dirty, you know, comedy and dirty rants.
Okay.
But for me, Richard Pryor movies I've watched.
Right.
Everything that I was even talking about, what is that movie called? A Stare Crazy the other night.
Right.
I'm like, that movie was funny as hell, you mm-hmm. know? So I like Richard Pryor's acting. Eddie Murphy, I like the way he changes his voice. Like, I'm not doing that. No, you do that. You know, and it's like, but it's like, I can't, because sometimes I want to go on stage and do different voices, but I'm
right.
like,
you want
to
be yourself.
Am I stealing from this person, or am I paying homage to this person? To me,
right.
Dave Chappelle is the best, you know, because Dave Chappelle will start a joke about an ant being outside and coming into his house. And from the point that he goes from the ant coming into his house, it's not going to be funny, but in between from that to the ant being inside of the house, he will make you laugh,
right.
you know?
Yep.
And it's like that with comedy. It's like, you know, you're coming up with an idea, you're building upon that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I use people a lot, because when I hold conversation with people, it's the best, because you just start talking
yep.
and people start feeding into you, you know? Because
right.
that's what they do in Hollywood with the writing rooms. You know, five people sit in a room, you come up with one idea, and basically, I'm never going to have the same thoughts. I mean, I'm going to have the same thoughts sometimes as you, but it's never going to be always 100%. There's something that you can add to my idea to make it slightly better.
Right.
And I love talking to people, because then, you know, you cooperate. I mean, mm-hmm. you collaborate. And then together you can come up with a funny concept, whereas you can say a joke can begin with something, and by the time you're done, it's over with, you know? Like,
yeah.
I was talking about zombies. I'm like, you know, it would suck being a zombie because I can't jerk off. You know, I'm like, you're just walking. You can't even ball your fist. I'm like, while other people are looking for meat, I'll be looking for a beat. So I'm going to corner somebody and about to eat them. They're like, no, don't eat them. I'm like, nah, man, just help a brother out. You know what I'm like? And then it came to me. And then I'm talking to my girl, and she goes, she's like, but how would you know that you're jerking off the zombie right? And then it's funny to me again, because I'm like, that's true. How do you know you're jerking off the zombie right? Because when he's making the same sound, like, is it good? Is it bad? You know, you never know. And I'm like, and Walking Dead is filmed in Atlanta, right?
Yep.
Atlanta has a lot of gay people. I've never seen a gay zombie. You know, like, just
right.
walk. Damn, bitch, them some nice shoes.
Oh, they wouldn't be able to bite. They
right.
just kind of.
And I'm like, right? And I'm like, look, there's a lot of rappers in. I never saw a zombie with a gold tooth.
Right.
This is the South that we're talking about.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's Atlanta.
And how come the zombies, when they come back, they're still not racist? They don't care who flesh they're eating. You know. I'm like, if I was.
Hey, all, it all tastes the same.
Right?
It all tastes the same.
Can you imagine being a racist vampire? Like, I don't want to suck your blood. You are black. Or you are white.
So is that material you use in your stand-up right there?
Well, I just did the other night at the Mall of America, but
okay.
I'm saying something happened where comedy, what I've realized about comedy, it happens everywhere, you
mm-hmm.
know? Like, you'll see something and it's funny, but it's up to you to take it and add some more joke up to it. That's when your imaginations come into play, you know?
Right.
Like, if you see somebody almost fall, you're like, they almost fell. It's not as funny as if they fall. But what if they did fall and this and this and this happened?
Right.
And then that and that and that happened. So
mm-hmm.
that's how comedy, if you could come up with an idea and your mind flickers to more, and you could take 1 minute of something and turn it into 5 minutes of something, you should become a comedian or at least a writer.
Yeah.
Send me your material, please.
Speaking of that, how can people get a hold of you? Do you got websites?
Yeah, I'm on Boimler.com, Facebook, Twitter. I try to stay away from Facebook nowadays because I find myself posting too much crazy stuff. Like, well, that's what I realized. I have to be my own filter because I can't think about something and put it on Facebook anymore because a lot of people look at it, you know, and the older you get, especially if you have kids, now your kids are looking at you. And that's the hard part about being a comedian is the fact that when you reach a certain age, you're no longer that young person on stage who can say really anything you want to say because nobody want to come to my show and hear me talking about how, you know, masturbation is not the same anymore because back in the day, you know, kids nowadays, they can go on the internet. I mean, people might want to hear that, but that's one of my jokes. I'm like, nowadays, you can go on the internet and find anything and type it in. I'm like, it's made the kids, they're lazy nowadays. Right. I'm like, me? I used to use my imagination. I'm like, you don't know how it feels to use your imagination until you jerk off to an Etch-a-Sketch. Right? You find your friend that could draw nice pictures, but the thing about jerking over the Etch-a-Sketch, you can't hold it and do it at the same time because when you shake, that titty might disappear, you know?
Nice.
Now you got to call your boy. Hey, man, come over, dude. I'm going to need you to draw this again.
That's good stuff. So, boima.com.
Right. You can find me on Brimson Tongues. Right. As soon as Mike hit me up and make me an African model, we're coming up with some matching dashikis.
Who knows what's next, right?
Right, right.
You got any gigs lined
coming
up here?
Friday... I'm shooting for The Fly, On The Fly with Tony Fly at the for one of his shows. I don't know when it's going to be coming out, but I'm the guest comedian or comp comedian of the week. And then on, I think, two Fridays from now, there's an event going on at Sushi 7. It's not Sushi, it's 7, Minneapolis, where Adrian Peterson meets his baby mothers. the 7 bar or whatever.
7 Corners?
No. The place called 7.
I don't know.
Wouldn't it be fucked up if he had gone to 418? He would have 418 kids right now. But at you ever heard of 7 Lounge in Minneapolis?
No.
Off Hennepin?
No.
Anyway, 7 Lounge, there's a gala going on. Robin Robinson is hosting. She used to do the news stuff. There's a couple of motivational speakers. And I think the program is for farmers in Africa, like indigenous farmers who are trying to, you know, get, because Liberia went through a civil war. So these guys have like a foundation that they're helping farmers grow weed. No, I'm just kidding. They're helping. I have the best marijuana on the block. What do you want? I call this the spear. That and then I have a comedy show going on the, I don't know the dates, but in St. Cloud with my boy Adrian and Schwinn. Adrian is putting together a comedy show. So, I mean, most of the time you catch me on Facebook, I'll post something about my comedy shows. My page is fully full with a lot of people, so I tend to get rid of people and invite other people because I don't want to create a second page. But you can find me on Twitter, officially Boima. I post a lot of things out there as well. I think I have a few famous people following me. I just don't know they're famous yet.
So if you go to boima.com, are your events up to date and everything there?
For the most part.
Okay.
I'm working on my website right now, but it's kind of difficult to... But it's getting pretty easy. There are websites now that you can just upload it as far as like Facebook or something. So
right.
I have something like a blueprint, but if you want to know what's going on, my Twitter is probably the best, you know.
Okay.
Or just hit me up on Facebook where your next shows and I'll let you know.
Boima, B-O-I-M-A, right?
Yep. Correct.
All right, man. Well, I'm going to plug my shit real quick.
Go ahead.
ThankYouRob.com. Let's go to that website. In your mind, let's close your eyes. You're going to ThankYouRob.com. If you look, there's it's confusing. There's buttons everywhere. Where do I go? I define design. There's a graphic design thing. I do graphic design. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. You can go to the Thank You Rob podcast area where you can listen to past episodes. It's real nice.
Going back in time.
Yeah.
On demand.
It is. I should call it that, on demand. Yeah. And then there's Some People's Kids is a comedy podcast me and my buddy do. We're only 6 episodes into it as of January 1st.
Okay.
We need to get on that.
Do you guys talk about other people's kids?
No. We talk about everything.
Okay.
Anything.
All right.
Everything and anything.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then I got a link to Brims and Tongues from my website because they're the official sponsor of the podcast. That's shout out to Amber Ace Cleveland and Michael Allen.
Nice.
And, of course, I mentioned earlier, I got the t-shirt shop that's online that you can click and buy the RIP ODB shirt, just so I can capitalize off of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I'm making money off of somebody I've never met,
right,
and he's dead.
Right.
But I do absolutely respect what he did.
Right.
Right.
And you're helping promote his music. Someone's going to hear it and be like, hey, there's people I know that create RIP shirts for people that get shot. I know some people that can't wait for people to die so they can create an RIP shirt, you know? Like, back in the day when we were growing up, Let me just ask you this. Do you remember the time? No, I'm kidding.
With Michael Jackson?
You remember that video?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're old enough. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, my mind.
R.I.P. shirt.
Yes, R.I.P. Remember back in the day, like, when people were dying a lot, when kids, I mean, in D.C., a lot of people were dying.
Yep.
But there was this song, like, this song's dedicated to my homies in that gangsta league. We couldn't wait for people to die. You know why? Because I wanted to be the one singing that song at your funeral. Y'all used to be at the hospital waiting, like, hey, dude, can I sing at your funeral? Like, I don't even know you. I know, but I want to sing my song. My favorite part was, my. You know, even the dude out the casket, like, damn, that's another my.
What was the name of that group?
I don't even know, but they were all gangster leaning,
yeah,
and there was a railroad track, you know?
Yeah.
Why'd
walking down the railroad track.
To go so soon?
That was like the only song those guys had.
I know the name of it, though, but that's a contest.
Gangsta lean.
Yeah, if you can guess who it was, post up and let me know what funeral you went to, and did that song make you cry? Because I know it made me cry, you know?
Yeah, and that song had pretty much everything. The video had like lowriders.
Right?
It was like.
Right? People walking on the train track.
On
Why
the train
do models
track?
Take pictures on the train track? You got, like, it's not sexy to me.
No.
I wish the train would just come and smack the hell out of you. That and girls posing in dirty waters. Like, the water is dirty. Just because it's shimmering off your body, I don't care.
Right.
You know, just stand outside in a bathing suit, you know? You don't have to be in that dirty water.
Yeah.
You know, Calhoun is not a beach.
All right, man, I'm going to wrap this up. Boima.com. Go there. Look him up on Facebook.
Right.
Follow him on Twitter.
Somewhere.
Don't follow him in real life.
Don't follow me in real life.
No, not
no,
in real life.
The cops already do that. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Rob.com, of course.
Thank you.
Any last words?
I just want to say, you know, be nice to other people. You know, treat people nice. You never know where you're going to be or what you're going to need. If you see a homeless person, don't let them ask you for something. Go to them first and ask them for something.
That's a good technique.
It is.
That is a good technique.
Yeah, beat them to the punch.
You got a cigarette?
Yep. You got a $10?
All right, man. I'm gonna wrap this up with my closing words that I say every episode. Chewbacca balls. Star Trek. Woo-ah! Got you all in check. You better keep my music banging till it disconnect. Woo-ah! Got you all in check. Your architect's getting money. Let me cast my check. Woo-ah! Got you all in check. Bust the rhymes up in the place with the ODB. Bust the rhyme to rhyme third. Yeah, you rhyme after me. The ODB was nominated for a Grammy. Congratulations, Bust, with your solo album. Putting scratches in my lyrics like my name was Kid Capri. Blow up the spot. And I'm the dirt dog, can't fuck with me. Took Mariah on a fantasy. Yo, I had a wet dream that I was boning Jodie Watley, doing wild shit. Ain't allowed to see. But we about to blow up the spot momentarily. Spread stupid all throughout the country. Before you used to kill me, that wasn't meant to be. I know it feel good, motherfuckers want the recipe. The place to be. The ODB. Just rhyme real quality. My top priority is to be the voluntarily nigga that whip your ass for free. Ooh, baby, I like it more. Get with me. Baby, it's pure ecstasy. Yo, every time I design the flow, you see in 3D. Flawless victory. I'm gonna give you out. 1, 2, 3. This flip mode is the squad that controls your set. All in check, we're some outer space shit like you watch Star Trek. All in check, you better keep my music banging till it disconnects. I got you all in check. Architects, get the money, let's cast the check. Got you all in check. Let me pass a lot. Let me be more hot. Represent the stuff. A man's smart when it comes to the art of rapping. I gotta keep the hands clapping. Let me move your feet. I'm a dirty dancer, making girlies' panties weak. Let them fly so I can blast up your twat gullies. Singing, stop getting me hot. Yo, niggas talk shit, yo. He'll be yapping. Well, this ball made me tell me how you look so smashing. Now I got your head hurt, you need an aspirin. Bashing your head in the wall.
wall. Time for some action. If you want a small piece, well, here's a fraction of shit that will bust your head quick. Peep the transaction of how we keep motherfuckers constantly crashing. They flyers with thinking no ships. Now who's the champion? I bring the wicked flow like the latest fashion. Satisfaction, maybe keep your camera flashing.
I was busting the sprung cells, mixes old gold, fungus mold, spoiling chillin's, slum gold, faithful wild Irish rolls, fat ass niggas, slim bitch with no clothes, in the backseat of a back, 69 old molds. Are you so